The Newport Jazz Festival celebrates its 50th anniversary this week. Since it began in 1954, the open-air festival in the swank Rhode Island resort town helped propel jazz beyond smoke-filled lounges and hipster hideaways. That was the dream of George Wein, who founded the festival. Whether it's swing or soul, fusion or funk, Dixieland or Latin, every recognizable artist in jazz has played the Newport stage. It was a launching pad for some artists, including legends like Miles Davis. That's Miles Davis's Round Midnight in 1955, recorded as many of the performances were over the years at Newport. As with almost anything that reaches the half-century mark, the Newport has had its ups and downs. The festival was canceled in 1960 after revelers clashed with police outside, and again in 1971 after a full-scale riot broke out. There were sometimes debate over whether the lineup should include music from other genres. Purists balked when Led Zeppelin and Jethro Tull took the stage, and for a time the festival was not even held in Newport. For 10 years, the event was based in New York City before returning to Rhode Island in 1981. Dan Morgenstern hasn't missed a Newport Jazz Festival since 1957. Over the years, he's attended the shows as a journalist, a fan, and now as director of the Institute of Jazz Studies at Rutgers. He says the first festival did things no concert had done before.
It brought together all different strains of jazz, everything from, I don't like the term Dixieland, but traditional jazz to what was then the most modern. And it was a unique kind of, it was a unique setting, and it was a unique mixture.
And a unique sound. Jazz is so often experienced in smoky lounges and clubs, essentially small rooms. This was sort of a new sound, jazz on a big stage in the open air.
Well, absolutely. And one of the things that was so important about the early jazz festivals was that it was kind of an ingathering of all the musicians who rarely saw each other, because when you're booked in a club, you know, maybe you're booked opposite another act, but mostly, people didn't see each other. And here they had a chance to listen to each other, which was very important.
When people talk about the Newport Jazz Festival, one of the performances that so often comes up is the 1956 bill where Duke Ellington and his orchestra played. And this was an example of how the festival could not only launch an artist's career, but it could also jumpstart a career.
It was a kind of comeback for, not that Ellington had ever been away, but there had been, you know, ebbs and flows in his career. And that, the Diminuendo in Blue, that was something that attracted worldwide attention. You know, the centerpiece of that was Paul Gonsalves' tenor solo, which just kept going and going.
You attended your first festival in 1957. That year, Billie Holiday and her trio were on the bill. What do you remember of that performance?
It's not one of my happiest memories. Billie was not at her best, and for all of us who love Billie, you know, it was a little bit of a disappointment.
But had a
however,
had
Billie, even Billie, not at her best, was always a very, very moving experience.
The sky is blue, the night is cold, the moon is new and love is old. And this taken out of mine is saying, lover, where can you be?
You were at the festival in 1963. That year, the John Coltrane Quartet performed My Favorite Things. This is something that I listened to in the household I grew up in. This record was pulled out and played so much that I think the grooves were worn off the record. You remember that performance?
Oh, sure, sure. My favorite things was Coltrane's Crescendo and Diminuendo and Blues. I mean, it was the big hit, and it became identified with him. But the thing about Coltrane, of course, was that once he had stated the melody, what he did with it from then on was totally unpredictable, and it turned out different every performance. And that one in 63, he was really on that night, and it was a tremendous performance.
You still remember being there in the audience? Under the stars?
Yeah. Those years at Newport were very special, because there was something about that particular aura that the festival had there, and the fact that you had a single stage festival, which meant that if you had the stamina, you could hear everything that was being performed. And that's something that you unfortunately can't do at a festival like it is today, where one event takes place at one hall and the other somewhere else across town, and you know, you can't be in two places at once.
Can you tell us about the lineup this year?
This year is like an in-gathering of everybody. I mean, we have people who are returning to Newport who were there many years ago, like Lee Konitz and Herbie Hancock. There are some wonderful reunion events. There are tributes to Coltrane, for instance, that will involve his son, Ravi, who is an excellent saxophonist, and Toshiko Akiyoshi, who made her debut, U.S. debut at Newport in 1956 and knocked everybody out. Here was this young woman from Manchuria who played Bud Powell-like piano and just surprised everybody. Harry Connick, who is one of the more or less latecomers. So it's going to be a terrific thing.
Sounds like you're looking forward to it. Thanks for talking to us, Professor Morgenstern.
You're very welcome.
Dan Morgenstern is the director of the Institute of Jazz Studies at Rutgers University. To see more on the Newport Jazz Festival and hear music from over the years, go to our website, npr.org. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.